the sports teams that exist. Certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
Hello, Cowboys Nation. It is the 29th of June 2024, and welcome to another episode of the World's Team, bringing in Dallas Cowboys fans from all across the world. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and today I'm joined by, always, the one and only Mr. Mike Poland. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. But hey, Mike, how's it going?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I like to always say the weather's nice, but it's not so nice. We're in a bit of a stormy patch at the moment here in the UK. But it's always, even in bad weather, seeing your face just brings a ray of sunshine into our lives.
There we go. but yes, it is another episode of the World's Team. And yeah, we've got a few interesting talking points to discuss in this week's show. But let's just dive straight into it, Mike. And people will probably look at the thumbnail and the title description of this week's episode and be like, huh? Mm. Really? And I'm like, yes, really. So the main headlines have been coming out recently as head coach Mike McCarthy is seemingly fed up of how things are operating in the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Yeah. So what he's saying is he's getting... So the way the report was put, he's just getting fed up of being undermined. If he has said these things, he hasn't said it directly. What was said is that a source within the Cowboys, which, okay, you could take that whichever way you want. But
somewhat take it with a pinch of salt sometimes. Yeah. Like, it could be an tactic of the whole Jerry Jones media stirring the pot, keeping us in the media limelight. It could be one of those things, or it could be actually true, yeah. Which to me kind of makes a kind of better sense. But we'll discuss it more in detail as we go along with us.
Yeah, I mean, like the question I've really got, I mean, I suppose the one I'll send to you and anyone watching and listening, like, if this is something that he has said, because he hasn't disputed it, mind you, this week. It came out at the start of the week, and it's gone the entire week with just it being radio silent in that regard. So you kind of wonder. So the question I'm wondering, right, Paul, is this signing his own death warrant, if you like, on this is his last year now? Because if he has said that, and this is how he actually feels, and Jerry's aware of this, is Jerry just going to sit there and go, well, okay, then, no time here is done?
Yeah, and this is where I was kind of going with this, is the fact that Mike McCarthy is in his last year of his contract. Like, obviously, the only thing to prove more is actually go out and actually try and win the Super Bowl. He's been 12-5 for multiple seasons in a row. Obviously, we've had some hiccups in the playoffs. That's understandable, but I wouldn't really put that more on McCarthy's side. I would kind of put that more towards Dan Quinn's side. But end of the day, I can imagine what McCarthy must be feeling like right now. Like, I think he is being underappreciated right now. Definitely. Like, especially from the days of Jason Garrett, where we're 8-8, 9-7, etc. So we're long gone from those days, thank goodness. But since McCarthy's came in, obviously the COVID year was a really, really tough one. Yeah. Mike Nolan as our defensive coordinator, which was an absolute shambles.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It was an absolute shambles.
It was bad, yeah.
Then, obviously, when we brought Dan Quinn in, it really drastically improved the overall defense, which is great. Then we started getting 12-5 every one season. Then we got 12-5 again next season. Then 12-5 again. And, obviously, the last game of the season last year against Green Bay, which was pretty much watching the presidential debate last night. I'm not gonna lie, it really did. like us Cowboys fans felt like we were Joe Biden, the way we were just getting suffocated in that game. So but anyway,
bumbling around.
But I don't want to go into too much into that. but you get the point. The point is that the only thing for McCarthy to really shut people up is actually take that next level, try and get to the NFC Championship, and if we can get there and pass that, and obviously the Super Bowl, that the end game is always the Super Bowl. So I can understand from McCarthy's perspective, I've given you multiple winning seasons. I've produced one of the most dynamic offenses we've had, scoring that was on set for a record year in 2021, I believe it was, before he broke his leg. He was going to be on projection to be breaking records in terms of passing yards, etc., of all those first five games of the season. And then obviously the next following year we've had scoring the most average points in any offense in the NFL, etc.
Dak leads the league.
Exactly. Dak now just came short of becoming MVP of the season. He was in the shortlist. I think he was second place or something like that.
Yeah.
So all that is really down to Mike McCarthy. Really. It really is. He has brought structure to the team. Don't get me wrong. There has been some moments where we do question, was that the right call?
Yeah.
Every coach has that. But I just think it has been a wee bit undervalued. And the question is, if McCarthy was to go next year, who do we bring in?
I think that the step to that would be Zimmer.
That's another thing. Mike Zimmer's obviously in a 1-year deal. Jerry's obviously just trying to pan out and see how it goes. So yeah. Zimmer might not, if our defense doesn't go up to Jerry's standard for this upcoming season, why bring him in as a head coach if that's the case? So it might be a completely revamp of the whole coaching staff and a complete rebuild. Because obviously with the cap, contracts, etc., it could be the whole shebang, and we could be expecting to really lower our expectations in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be. I mean, if what they're saying, McCarthy's feeling undermined, Jerry's always going over his head on things. If that's the case, what we're saying is, what we kind of said, what Jason Garrett was the yes man. If that's the case, then having a guy like Zimmer, who's been in the franchise before, could be a guy that fits the mold in terms of we need a yes man. And if that is the case, though, of course.
Yeah, it kind of I'm fine. I'll give you a now reference what I kind of feel what it feels like. It feels like the LA Lakers right now. And I don't know if you and you'll understand why I'm saying the LA Lakers right now.
Okay.
LeBron James right now. Obviously, the Lakers drafted his son. So they're the first father and son to be playing together. And obviously, with the influence of LeBron James playing with the LA Lakers and stuff like that, how much he's pretty much the Lakers right now, him in his own right. He's one of the best players to ever play basketball. But you mean to tell me that LeBron James had no influence in terms of picking Bronny James in the second round, where there was other available players in that NBA draft? So it kind of feels like that when it comes to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys right now. Like, even though LeBron James is not the owner of the Lakers, but he dictates what's happening. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the point I'm trying to point here. So it kind of feels like that. Like, and as much I will give Jerry all his flowers and stuff like that for what he has done for the Dallas Cowboys, becoming the Mecca, building AT&T Stadium, building the Star in Frisco, places that we have visited ourselves and we are just in awe, loving the history, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to like being involved in team affairs, that's where sometimes I get quite a bit conflicted, where he's not necessarily needs to be there and make the influence. Leave that to the coaches. Leave it to Will McClay. Like, all those decisions need to take precedence for those guys without the influence of Jerry. Like, we all remember going back to the 2014 NFL draft where it comes to Johnny Football. The amount, like the restraint that was to put on Jerry Jones to not draft Johnny Manziel, and thank goodness for Steven. Thank goodness we did not draft, like, and I know you're an Aggie.
You're okay. I know where you're going, because I would agree.
I know, but and I liked Johnny Football back in college. I thought he was great, but I didn't think we needed him in the Dallas Cowboys. I felt we needed, obviously, offensive line, and we did that smartly and picked up who's now literally going to be a hot in the Ring of Honor in the future, and Mr. Zach Martin, without a shadow of a doubt. So that's been one of the best decisions in terms of that, to really like stop Jerry from interfering, I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, like we hear all the time that people make comments about Jerry, you know, oh, he gets in the way, yada, yada, yada. And then you get other media people then going, oh, he's not as bad as he used to be. But it's like, okay, that's what you're seeing on the surface. I know, obviously, these media guys who are in the Star and around it are a little bit closer, but you still don't know what's being said behind closed doors with the team, with the players, with the staff. You know, there still has to be an element of it. Because we know that Jerry, he is a control freak when it comes to the Cowboys. It's his baby. You know, he's ushered it along to what it is now.
Like, to me, it sounds like there's a slight lack of trust, in a way. Like, if Jerry's having all that power, he doesn't seem to have full, complete trust of who is hiring. That's my personal opinion on it. I could be wrong. I could be spot on or whatever. But when you do think about it, it's like you're bringing in like a Jason Garrett. Like, Jerry controlled Jason Garrett. Like, he didn't trust Jason Garrett to do his own thing, essentially. That's pretty much why we were like 9-7, 8-8, etc. for multiple years.
Yeah.
We got in Mike McCarthy because it made sense, because he won a Super Bowl with Green Bay. He's got the experience. Like, he brings a different style of dynamic, style of offense.
Quarterback whisperer.
Exactly. So, and that would benefit Dak, and it did. But now that Jerry wants to really nitpick into things, that's where we're getting the confliction now.
Yeah.
So, and this is what the rumor is, if obviously McCarthy's fed up of being, like, we cherry picks there and there of decision-making.
And, I mean, some of this could stem back from, you know, first impressions, right? So when you think of the press conference, this is what I think back to when you think, what has Mike McCarthy done to deserve to feel or to be treated that way? And the only thing I can think of, the very first press conference, and they said, somebody asked Mike McCarthy the question, and they said, what do you think of the team? And he said, well, to be honest with you, I haven't really watched a lot of tape on the Cowboys. I just said that to get the job. No, mistake by Mike McCarthy, but Jerry Jones was sat right next to him, and he was just like, oh. And as soon as he said it, you're like, whoops. And you wonder if that is something that put Jerry in, you know, it put him onto the wrong foot to begin with.
But in fair, like, I'm not trying to defend McCarthy's comments and that, but like, coaches could still watch a lot of film, but it might be completely different in terms of how you're like. It would make no difference in a way, because you're going to outline your offense to these players, and it might work better or it might become worse. So I think watching film, like, obviously you can see traits in terms of like good hands for pass rushers, good kicks there for offensive linemen, catching ability for the wide receivers. But it comes to route running, rushing routes, defensive schemes and stuff like that, that could play a big factor into that. So I think in that perspective, it could be like maybe watch a couple of clips and get a general basis, but for McCarthy to make a comment like that, I thought, oh, that's a bit of a, so
I was like, that was a whoopsie.
Yeah, but anyway, but in other news, we've got Tyler Smith has made some news. He is definitely locked in the left guard position, which I am absolutely thrilled about.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you think that he's really on the trajectory now with the way that he played. You think last year, all right, the pass blocking, it needs a little bit of work. That's fine, okay. But the run blocking was, and you go,
it's beautiful to watch. It really is. Like, Tyler Smith just knows how to put that aggressive, controlled aggression onto people when it comes to the run game, 100%. Like you said, in terms of pass protection, still needs a bit of work with his hands. That's the only problem, is the holding calls. That's still a somewhat still issue, but. Mm-hmm. In terms of going forward, in terms of like they're trying to improve our run game, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. And also, like he was probably the best run blocker last year, I would say.
Yeah, him along with Quentin Nelson, I would say, for the Colts.
I mean, though, in terms of the Cowboys, I would say.
Of the Cowboys, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I think there's no doubt about that, 100%. In terms of him being locked in at left guard, right? So I think that now eliminates the whole question now that shifting Tyler back to left tackle and back and forth. I think we're now having a pure set of offensive linemen stick to positions now, which is great. Yeah. It's something I've been begging for a long time. I hate position flex on offensive linemen. I just don't like it. It works okay with defensive linemen, but not offensive line. I'm sorry, but it's just my opinion. And if you don't agree, then feel free to add your comments.
I've said this many times with you, Paul, especially that I always say the offensive line is your, if you think of a team as a house, the offensive line is the foundation. It's the very foundations that everything is built on. And what you don't want to do with a foundation is move bricks in and out.
Yeah. And now that we've brought in like Tyler Guyton, obviously he's still very raw. We are going to get to see him in training camp, which is coming up just shortly, which is going to be great. Cannot wait for training camp. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait to actually see like Guyton, Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, Zach Martin, and Terrence Steele to be all lined up together and actually like be that unit. Because what's beyond, like, that is our offensive line right there. They're like, if we can keep those guys always 100%, well, not 100%, they're not always going to be 100% healthy, but if we can get them playing all 17 games in a regular season together with no hiccups, I can see the growth, the communication, the continuity really going to develop. And this is, I think this could be the version three of the Great Wall of Dallas. Because version two was obviously with Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Doug Free, etc. Version one goes back to the days of the 90s. With Larry Allen, Stepnoski, Nate Newton, exactly. So it goes all the way back to that. So I'm loving the upside potential in this, and I really does hope it pans out, especially with Cooper Beebe, who I'm very excited to look at in training camp.
I think that's really the place. Sorry, I'll let you move on. I was just going to say, I think, by knowing just one simple thing here on the offensive line, that Tyler Smith is left guard, you kind of go, okay, well, now that means we know who's left tackle, we know who's right tackle, we know who guard is. So really what we're down to now is just who's playing center. So that's nice now, knowing that we're not moving all this shuffling around. Like you say, you know, foundation, you've got chemistry, you've got continuity, you've got a level of calm now on that line. Where last year, when you think there was so much going on, you had Tyron Smith injured, Zach Martin holding out, you know, Tyler Biadasz was going through some things. You had Terrence Steele coming off the ACL injury. That really the only thing that was like set in stone was Tyler Smith.
Yeah, it's mental.
Yeah.
But yes, before we move next into the next topic, we'll go give a shout out from our sponsor, Cowboys Experience.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience. The ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, so be sure to go to cowboysexperience.com and be sure and let them know that the World's Team sent you your way. And you'll get some discounts on the upcoming packages for the 2024 season. So be sure to contact them. But yes, the next bit of news that we do have is it's quite a sensitive subject in a way, in general sense, but it kind of irons out the rumors once and for all, I think, personally for me, is the fact that Dak's court case has been dismissed about the SA allegations.
I love the politically correct way of going through things there.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get...
Sensitive is what you're...
No, saying. Well, we don't want to get a copyright, like strike on... On platforms,
because
there are certain keywords you're not allowed to use. So, so tell me, Mike, tell me more information about the whole dismissal.
I mean, it would kind of like, you know, without sounding like, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm insensitive or nothing, but it's kind of a no-brainer, right? For starters, I mean, when you looked at it. It was kind of like, really, you know, and you look at the timing of it all and everything else. Like, oh, how ironic. And I, you know, I don't want to sound like that. I'm that guy. But you're just like, oh, look at the timing. Look at when all of this came out. You know, this, it was all odd about it. And it already went through one sort of part of a dismissal already. But it was just like, this was the next process it had to go down. Jury went to a jury. Jury didn't really take long to deliberate. They just went, yeah, sorry, this can get thrown out easily. So what the big thing I think for this, it's, you know, ignore all the politics and the gender politics, whatever you want to say here. Like the main thing is that most important is Dak can just get on with his life. He's got a wife. He's got a baby. Just let, you know, let the guy go live his life. Yes, he's got money. Yes, he's a pro athlete in the NFL at the top of his game. I get it. I get all of this. Just now he can just concentrate on football and you don't have a dark cloud hanging over you. Because I've not been there myself. But
Well, the only dark cloud, but somewhere he's got someone else to do that for him, which is his agent, Todd France. Yeah. Negotiate his next contract, which is something that obviously will happen, and we do have our sources that have mentioned before is likely going to happen during training camp. So watch the space, ladies and gentlemen. Watch the space. So it's good that Dad has now got that clear conscience now. Like he's got his agent doing
that's
that. He's got the court case dismissed. He can focus on. He can focus being a family man and focus on football, which is the two most important things that Dak needs to focus on. And obviously with Dak now coming up with a contract year, etc., he'll want to play like lights out pretty much. Dak will want to play lights out to actually justify why he should be getting paid more than likes a Trevor Lawrence. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not being funny here, but who in God's name thinks Trevor Lawrence is worth that amount of money? I'm sorry, but I just think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Which is why, you know, it's a good shout for the news that we heard this week that they want to make a separate cap room for quarterbacks. Makes complete sense.
I think that is one of the best ideas that has ever been introduced, and I hope it does get approved. I really do, because that means, like, do you imagine the endless possibilities where you can actually fix other parts of the squad and you don't have to worry about the quarterback? That like you've got all your feet, like, depending on how many quarterbacks you've got on your roster, that's all contained in that one pot. Then you've got the rest of your team in that pot. So I think that will be great. It makes sense.
And you kind of wonder, like, will this lead to fracturing of the cap room? So, like, they go, okay, here's a cap room because the way it's going for wide receivers. What if they turn around into
I'm so glad that you mentioned it, because I was thinking about that myself, because it's like linebackers, it's running backs, wide receivers, offensive line, which is a big one when you really think about it. Because you can have up to 10 offensive linemen. You could have maybe, like, for likes of us, we've got like maybe like 3 Pro Bowlers in our roster. Well, 2 now. But you think about the total of their, like, in terms of cap space and stuff like that, it's like, that's still quite a fair chunk. But if you can actually segregate every position in terms of its own salary cap based on unit, quarterbacks, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, secondary. I think that would make sense. Then obviously
defensive end, pass rusher. You
know? Well, I wouldn't break it down that far, but I think in terms of like just like the core, like your main core, like the whole defensive line, because you might
pass
not
rushers are getting their money at the moment.
I know, but because when you think about it, different schemes. Like, you might have more.
I suppose you do have to play along the line of scheme. Yeah. I see where you're going.
Because you'll have more linebackers if you're running a 3-4. But if you're running a 4-3, you'll have more defensive line. So this is what I mean. It's like, if you're running a 4-3 defense, then you need to kind of work out how to work out your top earners in a more controlled way. But if you're running a 3-4, then obviously there's more flexibility in that defensive line. But then you've got the problem in the linebackers category.
Unless to eliminate that, you just had box players.
Possibly.
You know, yeah.
But speaking about, like, so I mentioned positions and that, so Trevon Diggs has been on the news because of newly acquired quarterback from the NFL draft, Malik Nabers of the New York Giants.
Yeah. Wide receiver, sorry.
I do apologize. I don't know why I said quarterback, but I do apologize. But wide receiver Malik Nabers is excited to play heads up against Trevon Diggs this year. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's fine, right? Okay, so he makes a comment and they say, who are you most excited to go up against? And he's like, Trevon Diggs. So that's fine. So then our good friend Law Nation, he posts that video up and he's like, you know, confused, like, Jesus, have you seen this? He's most excited about Trevon Diggs. So then when Law Nation puts that up, Malik Nabers then reposts it with a coffin and you're like, like, basically signifying that he believes his talents will outshine Trevon Diggs. So Trevon Diggs goes on, he sees this and he's like, okay, you can have it back. And he puts a comment like, you know, how many years has the New York Giants been getting belt from us now? Which is true. And it's fine. I get it. That Malik Nabers, he wants to shine. He wants to show off. You've got to have swagger when you're playing on the outside, whether you're a cornerback or a wide receiver. You've got to have that swagger. You've got to have that confidence, which is fine. But you're just kind of like sitting there going, okay, just so you're aware, since 2013, Cowboys have won 18 out of the 23 contests against each other here. And you're like, you've got Daniel Jones throwing to you. There's your problem.
Then again, Daniel Jones is that type of quarterback who would definitely run the run play option and tries to run upfield and gets absolutely splattered on the football field. Mm-hmm. So he's not exactly going to be throwing it for over 3,000 yards a season. So, I think Nabers will be good for the Giants. I think, like, it does give, like, I think it does give Jones more options. Yes. Is it enough to kind of dethrone likes of ourselves and the Philadelphia Eagles? Probably not.
Yeah.
In fact, not probably not. I'm going to say just no. I don't think so. Because it takes a lot more than that. Like, I would say their holes are actually more in the Giants' defense right now. Like, yeah, they might improve in their offense a little bit, but when you look at the history between us and the Giants, like, did we not, like, actually shut them out twice last year?
The points differential was, like, astonishing. It was, like, something ridiculous. Like, Cowboys had nearly 100 points, and the Giants had, like 20.
Yeah, let me just check that, actually.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, let me just check that. Right. Okay, so... let me see. So on September the 11th, we beat the Giants 40-0. Right. And on the home game, we beat the Giants 49-17. So that's 89 points to 17 last year. I rest my case.
And so you say that, you say 89 to 17, and you're going, okay, so you're saying Malik Nabers is going to be the reason that suddenly that margin, that gap. I definitely think that it's not going to be like that this year. We're not going to be squeaking points out by that much.
Yeah, and I don't and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a starring tight end, Dallin Waller, no longer?
He's retired.
He's retiring, so now they've got a minor gap in their tight end position as well. So and obviously Saquon's now gone. We don't so I just don't see how that's gonna really justify. Like, Naples may have a great game in terms of creating space, but in terms of getting the ball thrown to him, that's a whole different question.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you say, oh, the Cowboys beat them 40 points to nothing. So you're telling me that, okay, the Cowboys have got, you could say, is their roster as good as it was last year? But let's say the Cowboys beat the Giants 30 points. No, they put 30 points on the Giants. Are you telling me that Malik Nabers is the reason they score 32 points and win the game, you know? And the other added thing to this, right? Nabers is still a rookie, right? Rookie wide receivers do generally take a few weeks at least to come along and find their footing, find their feet in it all. Yeah. The Cowboys and the Giants play in week 4, right? So he's got 4 weeks to really get up to speed, which is a tall order. And on the flip side of it, Trayvon Diggs is coming off an ACL injury. So he's, you know, Diggs is set to play in training camp. He's ready to rock, is what we're saying. But then he's also got another 4 weeks on top of that to get even more healthier, to get stronger and back more into a rhythm by the time he faces a rookie wide receiver in Malik Nabers. So you just kind of like the scales are just like tipping consistently the wrong way here for Nabers to be this massive threat that you're expecting.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, like, first round draft picks, a lot of high expectation, but they didn't really come around to like week 6 and week 7 and stuff like that, like in their rookie seasons. Then we got to see the true glimpse of those two players, especially Jefferson and Lamb, especially those two. But it'll be the exact same. I think it'll be finding your feet in the first couple of weeks for Lixon Abrams. And I think eventually he will pose a threat to the Cowboys in the future, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not going to argue that because I think he is a really good player.
He's a really good player.
We're here near the end of the show, but we're not going to leave this show until we do our final segment of the show, which is Would You Rather. So hit me with it, Mike.
All right, okay. So what I'm going for is a classical. So we're going back in time. This Cowboys defense as it is right now, okay. Which player, historical Cowboys player, would you rather in their prime on this Cowboys defense? DeMarcus Ware or Deion Sanders?
Deion Sanders. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying that is all because of the Green Bay game.
Okay.
When you really think about it, Sanders can play man and he can play zone. So if that's the case, and that's the problem, we had little experience of guys actually trying to play the zone, and we diverted away from the man, and it, like, there was that one particular play against Green Bay where whoever it was for Green Bay was completely wide open, not one player within him in 20 yards. So that's one of the reasons why, like, you could argue the Marcus Ware as well, obviously, but I just feel like with the team right now, and obviously we've just lost Stephen Gilmore, there's no news regarding him coming back or anything like that. So if I had to be anything, I would still want to stack up the defensive backs. Because don't get me wrong, everything does work like a chain reaction. It does start with the defensive line, but if the cornerbacks are doing their jobs and shutting down wide receivers, then the quarterbacks are going to be more flustered in the pocket because they're going to spend more time holding onto the ball, and it's going to
get more sacks.
Exactly. So it works in a tandem chain reaction in that regard, and that's how the defense tends to work. So there's your answer, Mr. Deion Sanders. Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, he's got the special teams abilities as well.
There you go. There you go. And the celebration walk in the end zone.
Yeah. That'll never go away. But, I mean, like, you know, the reason I say DeMarcus Ware is because, like, people will be saying, oh, obviously Deion Sanders, but go stop before you think. Because DeMarcus Ware, so you think of some of the plethora of defensive talent the Cowboys have had on the defensive line and pass rushers in the history. Bob Lilly, DeMarcus, you know, we're talking Parsons. Is,
I know, and I love them. I love DeMarcus.
No, yeah.
Like, I think that there is no wrong answer here.
No, of course not. No,
there is no
wrong answer. Always, all these hypotheticals I always do each week, you can't be wrong in either regard. Like,
I'm only doing it based on more desperate need at the moment.
And that makes sense.
But,
Ware is first for the Dallas Cowboys, regardless of all the defensive talent we've had in the history of the Cowboys. DeMarcus Ware is first in sacks, first in tackles for a loss, first in forced fumbles. It just goes on and on. You go through the list. Just go and Google it right now and Google franchise records. Go to defense. And DeMarcus Ware is top in the category in like about five categories. You're just like, that is insane. The only thing I was always getting about with Ware is that, and this is where it differs with Deion Sanders, is he never got a Super Bowl ring with the Cowboys. Love that he got one, but just a shame he never got one because I think that it does him a disservice with the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, if there's one Cowboys player that deserves it more than anyone, it's DeMarcus Ware. Like, even bring him back as an assistant. If we get to the Super Bowl, you should just bring him in as an honorary assistant so he can get a Super Bowl ring. Yeah. There you go.
Go to his Instagram.
I know.
His Instagram, and you watch his workouts, and you're like, man, that guy is like in his, you know, he's in his 50s, right? And the guy's working out
He's in his, I would say he's in his mid-40s. I think.
I don't know.
Let me just confirm that.
Yeah, hold on. I'll check myself. But you go.
Yeah, he's 41 years old.
Shut up. Is he 41?
He's 41.
He's the same age as me.
Yeah.
I'm shamed.
And his birthday is coming up next month, the 31st of July. There you go.
I thought he was in his
50s
for some reason.
No, I think you're getting mixed up with Shannon Sharp because he's in his 50s and he looks ripped. And he also played for Denver. So I think you're getting a wee bit like, and I was going to say that, like, for after football, DeMarcus Lawrence has always kept himself in top shape, just like Shannon Sharp has done. Yeah. Even though he's probably one of the biggest Cowboys haters, but I do appreciate his honesty. Like, see, when he gets really serious about the topic, talking about the Cowboys, he will give them credit when credit is due and really make some good valid points. But any time when it's any disarray, he likes to take the laugh at us. So, but it is what it is, you know. But anyway, that is the end of this week's show of the Worlds Team. Be sure to hit the like, follow, subscribe on all of our social medias, which you can see here below. Here on Instagram, the Worlds Team X, the Worlds_Worlds Team. But And obviously on YouTube. I'm not even reading it right. I'll let the outro do the actual service for me. But anyway, but with that being said, it's a goodbye from myself and it's a goodbye from the Welsh Dragon and himself. Be sure to go and check him out on bloggingtheboys.com. Check out his articles, leave some comments, and also let us know what you think about the show. Let us know your thoughts about the McCarthy situation. And yes, have a lovely weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Until next week, Dallas forever, Philly for never. It's not only just the world's team, it's the world's team. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.